to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Get the Hell Off My Lawn of free speech. Just get the hell off my lawn! And this is my ball now. I don't know why, but it just is. Maybe because a bunch of boomers are involved in RBN at one level or another. I'm one of them. So get the hell off my lawn and go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is part 2 of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Patrick, and I'm hoping that my title as honorary boomer still stands. Back when I used to call into Boomer Vision and we would do shows together, I don't like these kids on my yard either. It prevents me from mowing the yard every 2 days. I can hear the grass growing right now, and those darn kids are out there throwing the football.
I've never had kids on my lawn, actually. I had a pervert on my lawn.
Wow.
That was a long time ago. That's the backstory for why we got Mr. T. Keep the pervert off the lawn. And I've had very recently deer on the lawn. I didn't see them, but I saw what they left behind, a whole bunch of it. So deer and, you know, woodchuck. And I got to be extra nice to the woodchuck because I eliminated a woodchuck last night driving home. So
These
things happen. Yeah, I know.
And another roadkill story, man.
Oh my God! I don't want to tell the story. It's too recent.
All right. Well, we have neighborhood dogs patrolling for the woodchucks. We got a Pyrenees and a big German Shepherd, and they like to bark at 4 a.m. when you're leaving your driveway or when people are trying to sleep. But then when you come in at 2 p.m, they just lay there and don't move.
Yeah.
So the only time they want to bark is when people are sleeping, but they're sweet dogs. Anyway, we could go on and on about dogs and daughters and stuff, but we got some prep.
Okay. Well, what's next?
Remind me to, Azerbaijan was not in the prep, but I think right after our show last week, they were talking about sending Armenians back out of the disputed area of Azerbaijan. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything fresh on that before we get into the other stuff? I didn't send you any prep on it.
Well, so it does seem that the Armenian, I guess it's the prime minister who runs things, he has given up on Nagorno-Karabakh, that he's given up because he wants to throw his lot with the EU and, I guess, ultimately NATO, and the Nagorno-Karabakh, which isn't a particularly large region, it's an obstacle. You know, I can't remember what article it is in NATO, but to join NATO, you can't have outstanding territorial disputes or outstanding conflicts with other countries. Well, he's got an outstanding conflict. So he's throwing in the towel on that, and a lot of people don't like it. But there, in all these Eastern European countries, you do have a certain percentage of the people that looks at Europe and say, you know, we could be part of that. They have these rosy, rose-colored glasses view of Europe, and a lot say, yeah, we want to be part of that. So you have a certain percentage, not necessarily a majority, but they probably tend to be concentrated in the capital cities or the larger cities. And so, yeah, I think that's what's going on, that the Armenian prime minister's throwing in the towel. He's somebody who came to power a few years back based on demonstrations Armenia has historically been kind of a protectorate of Russia, but he's turning his back on Russia and throwing his lot with Europe and America, who are very far away, and he's going to be wound up, Armenia will wind up being surrounded by Russia, a historic friend, Iran, actually a historic friend, but that is not going to be happy about, would not be happy about a NATO-aligned Armenia, you know, right there on its border, and Turkey, which is a historic enemy. So they'll be very isolated, not a good thing.
Yeah, so, by the way, I think you called that last week when we were recording, that the Armenian prime minister would not consider it worth it.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to say that I get so much of my recent information on this comes from Alexander Mercurius, so my take is, you know, it is somewhat derivative of his analysis, so I'm not going to take a whole bunch of credit for it.
Well, credit where credit's due for both of you. Then yeah. The only other thing I had, AP reports that thousands of Armenians are fleeing to Armenia. There was a blast in Nagorno-Karabakh, killing 200 people. Still kind of a hotbed there. That was 22 hours ago on the AP.
Well, this has been a conflict zone for about 35 years. It's a long time. It started before the breakup of the Soviet Union, when the last two or three years of the Soviet Union, you were starting to get a lot of chaos and conflict and ethnic strife within the Soviet Union. And this helped pave the way for its breakup. And, you know, this was part of it. The way the Soviet borders, well, partly the way the Soviet internal borders were drawn was a bit haphazard. And you got to remember that Stalin, when he was in charge, he was moving ethnic groups all over the place, you know, kind of just deporting one group and putting them somewhere else. And then also that the Caucasus Mountains are very rugged, and it's very easy to get groups of people isolated in these valleys. And so, you know, you had a situation where, you know, you got one valley and it's full of Armenians, and the next valley is full of Azerbaijanis, and then the next valley over it's Armenians again, and then it's Azerbaijanis again. So it's a little bit almost like a checkerboard pattern over there. And so it made it difficult when they broke up. The same. Yeah.
One more piece of house cleaning from last week I wanted to follow up on, and I didn't send you the prep one, but we'll just glance over it. The United Auto Workers strike, I mean, I guess that nothing was resolved. They doubled down, and Biden, 52 minutes ago, CNN reported that Biden joined the strikers on the picket line. So that's, I guess, you know, part of his campaign ploy to say, look at me, I'm standing with workers.
Yeah, and he's doing that. President Trump is skipping this week's Republican primary debate. He skipped the other one. He'll probably skip them all. And he's due to be making a speech to United Auto Workers members. And so I guess Biden feels that he doesn't want to be outdone. Especially labor was traditionally a key component of the Democratic alliance, of the Democratic coalition. Of course, if you're going to import infinity immigrants who are willing to work at cheap labor costs, right? That is not a good thing for labor. So, you know, maybe Trump sees this as an opportunity to make inroads into what has always traditionally been a Democratic constituency. I think there's some of that in there, and probably Biden being sent to make a speech to the you know, or to picket with the United Auto Workers. That's a response to Trump. The thing is, the Democratic coalition, really, there's so many internal contradictions in it. You know, feminists and trannies, for instance, right? Or blacks and immigrants. There are all these internal contradictions in it. And it's been held together partly just by having so much domination over the mass media that you can't have, you don't get logical debate over things. But there are these internal contradictions, and this is one of them. To have in the old days, in the 1980s, the immigration issue was not nearly as partisan. And the reason it wasn't nearly as partisan was that labor was traditionally anti-immigrant. Even who's the grape guy, the United Farm Workers guy? What was his name? Oh, the famous guy. His name slips in my mind, but back in the 60s, he organized the grape pickers in California, and one of the things that they did, he was a Mexican, right? Or Mexican-American, and they beat up illegal immigrants because the illegal immigrants were coming in and taking our jobs that the citizen Hispanics were doing. And so the citizen Hispanics were beating up the illegal alien Hispanics. So, you know, you've got all these internal contradictions. And at some point, these contradictions are just going to overwhelm, like the reality is going to overwhelm the narrative. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
I had to look that one up. Was it Larry Tolling?
No.
Gines?
No, it wasn't. The United Farm Workers Grape Boycott. If we look up Grape Boycott, we'll find it. I keep wanting to say Che Guevara. Obviously, it's not Che Guevara.
Cesar Chavez.
And of course, Cesar Chavez.
I had to read down through the article a little bit. I had to look that up. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah. So it is sad that they had to probably tell Biden and wheel him out there to this event. I'm sure he didn't make that decision on his own. And then, you know, put his prompter up there. That's sad. But then, you know, you're talking about them preempting what Trump is going to do. That's actually a strategic move for them. And then Trump, as we mentioned before, seemed to have, you know, take the place of the old Democrat candidate from 30 years ago. And as someone who cares about workers and cares about immigration, or he says that he does. Mm-hmm. So it's really what's uniting the left and the Democrats right now is just their hatred for Trump. I think that's in one way they see him as a figure that helps them galvanize their base.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's hatred for Trump. Trump's got this personality that's very abrasive to a lot of people. Trump has caused a complete realignment of American politics. And so groups that had been traditionally Democrat, like blue collar white people, have been traditionally Democrat, and they are they're pro Trump. Whereas say big business people, well, this the shift of big business to the Democrats, that really started with Clinton, but it's just gotten it's been solidified now with Trump. And so you've got this realignment of politics, something that had to happen. I certainly welcome it, and Trump's played a role in it. You don't have to like him, you don't have to support him, but I do think it's just undeniable that he's played a really big role. People talk about rhinos now, and they use rhino as an insult, and they'll say Nikki Haley is a rhino, or the turtle guy from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, that he's a rhino. They're not rhinos. That's what the Republican Party has been our entire life. That's exactly what it's been. Trump is actually the rhino, and the rhino is a good thing. The Republican Party has been horrible. It's been horrible. It is these people like Mitch McConnell, they represent traditional, when I say traditional, during our lifetime, Republican policies and interests. And Trump has come in and shaken things up to such an extent that people are now looking at Trump and MAGA as being the real Republican, and the Republicans who have been Republicans, the mainstream of Republican Party for the past 70 years, 60 years, those people are now being described as Republican in name only. That shows how much he's shaken things up. That's really a big deal.
Yeah, and like we said last week, if they deny him the Republican nomination, he could just start a third party, and all the 60 million plus of the electorate can just go right on over to that party. Probably the first time in a long time that that's actually been possible. You know, to have a successful third party.
Yeah, the Republicans actually started as an amalgamation of third parties, right? That's how they got their start. So you could almost say that they got their start as a third party. And since then, every election since Lincoln, you know, every election has been well. Lincoln was the first Republican president, I guess you could say. We've had either a Democrat or a Republican elected since the 1830s. Since, you know, the Democratic Party got founded in its current formation in the Jackson administration, Andrew Jackson, and the first Republican president's Lincoln, and it's been the two of them. But you've had some massive third party movements. You had the populist movement in the 1880s, 1890s, and they were extremely successful politically. They wound up getting some of their platform being incorporated into the Democratic Party by William Jennings Bryan, and that took some of the fuel some of the wind out of their sails. You know, yeah, George Wallace had a pretty important run and won. It's the last third party candidate to actually win states. He won five states in 1968. Teddy Roosevelt came in second place when he ran as a third party in 1912. He beat the Republicans, came in second place with the progressives. So it could happen, and it would be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Trump is going to win the Republican nomination. They won't be able to stop him. But if he wins the Republican nomination, it's possible you could get a third party of anti-Trump Republicans and Democrats who aren't comfortable with what's going on with the so-called wokeism and everything. You could get that, like a Joe Manchin type of thing. I don't think they have anybody charismatic enough to win the day, but it could happen.
Right. So in this instance, the third party would destroy the Democrat vote, you know, as opposed to what happened with Ross Perot in the 90s, pretty much knocked Bush out of there.
Knocked Bush out of there. It was not clear, though.
Right.
Bush wanted Ross Perot in the debate, thinking that Ross Perot would be more of a detriment to Clinton. But the way it worked out, I think there was a consensus that it was more of a detriment to Bush than to Clinton.
Bush, Clinton, NAFTA, yeah, it's all the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That was the thing. So I actually voted for Clinton.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stands a stranger.
Red extension freedom-loving patriots, are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Clinton, NAFTA, and it's all the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the thing. So I actually voted for Clinton in 1992, and I really regret it. It's the one vote I've made that I really regret. Not that it matters. I mean, he won by a...
We're going to get emails on that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I was just so sick of Bush. I was so sick of the him normalizing war again, which he did. He really normalized war, and we've had permanent war ever since then. So I was sick of Bush. I just wanted to get rid of Bush. But you know, in retrospect, and I would have voted for Perot, but Perot had trashed his campaign. Like, Perot was doing really well in June. He was, I think, even ahead in the polls at one point. And then he said that shady people were trying to ruin his daughter's wedding, and therefore he was canceling his campaign, which was bizarre and stupid. And then a couple of months later, he said, nah, never mind, I'll come back and campaign again. And by that time, you know, he just looked kind of weird. He still got 19% of the vote, but which was more than any third party candidate since Teddy Roosevelt. But it just made him into a joke, and he wasn't going to win. The person who had the shot at beating Bush was Clinton. So I voted for Clinton. And I regret it because Clinton was so awful. I wouldn't say he was necessarily worse than Bush, but he was awful. He could easily be just as bad as Bush. I mean, he was awful. But anyway, why did I mention that?
I mentioned third party. I was just going to say Clinton brought in that wonderful humanitarian Madeleine Albright, who cares so much about you. Yeah. No, we were mentioning third party, and it all started with the talking about Biden going to the picket lines in Michigan for the United Auto Workers. Trump's going to meet with them now. It's kind of where it all started from. Which you know, we're in domestic stuff now in politics. Are you ready to move on to this next one, which is related?
I'm ready.
So, no, you've got the people throwing Zelensky under the bus now, hiring this witch. And then if you remember about a week and a half ago, the Sound of Freedom dude, Tim Ballard, all of a sudden he got Me Too like crazy. And some of them were allegedly underage that were Me Too-ing him. He's broken his silence. He denies all of it. And, you know, of course he says, and he's probably right. I mean, I'm taking the man's side. I usually do, unless they're just some vile, like wicked person. You know, like Weinstein. I didn't take Weinstein's side, but usually I'll take the man's side if he's accused of things like this. And yeah, this is kind of a way. I think the Sound of Freedom, to me, it was something that the right wing was allowed to support and they were allowed to talk about, you know, unlike Pizzagate or Epstein. And it was sort of soft core indicting the Democrats for human trafficking. I mean, that's kind of what it's hinting at. So now I guess this is the left's way of hitting back and accusing this guy of all kinds of, you know, getting women to come out of the woodwork. Dude, I mean, they're probably going to say the dude, you know, was part of Kavanaugh's rape train in college. Who knows? But they're just throwing all kinds of stuff at him. And, hoping that it would discredit this whole Sound of Freedom thing, which I, you know, to me, the movie was really tugging on your heartstrings and sort of the theme of it was, look at all of these poor third world children being victimized. Let's make them American citizens and protect them. That was kind of the way it was pushed that I could see.
Well, didn't see it, but that's just from what I heard about it. I thought, well, isn't that how people are going to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I read the analysis, and that's exactly what the right wing's response was. I mean, as long as they're legal, though, right? And we're protecting children. But no, this is sort of a way to, you know, undermine that whole thing and discredit it. So, but he took a while to break the silence on this to come out and openly deny these allegations.
Mm-hmm. How about
so you got that. Russell Brand, I've never liked that guy. He just looks weird. Do I side with Russell Brand? Wow, that's a tough one. I think all these women are lying, but I'm not going to stand with him. He probably did some weird stuff, and he's got it coming to him.
I'm sure he did weird stuff.
Yeah,
he did weird stuff. He's admitted to having done a lot of weird stuff. But the thing is, no matter what it is, if you're waiting 15 or 20 years to come forward,
yeah,
I mean that's there's something wrong with that.
Well, I mean, it's like the Bill Cosby stuff, you got to wait decades and decades. He probably doesn't have near as much money. He didn't have as much money when he was accused as he did back then. You know, when he was Huxtable, Dr. Huxtable in the 80s, probably was rolling in it then. But, you know, the Me Too movement just wants to gain popularity and believe all women no matter what.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number is 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
As he did back then, you know, when he was Huxtable, Dr. Huxtable in the 80s, probably was rolling in it then. But, you know, the Me Too movement just wants to gain popularity and believe all women, no matter what, you know, they can just use that to attack anybody that they consider right wing or right adjacent, anything at all. What did Russell Brand do to get that attack? He did something that triggered them to come after him.
Okay, well, he doesn't talk about Jews, but he talks about the problems that Jews cause.
Hmm.
And I guess he interviews people, too. I don't know. I mean, I know David Duke listens to him from time to time. You know, David Duke, if David Duke is listening to him from time to time, he must be saying something that is not kosher somehow. That's not kosher certified.
Right. Kind of goes up to the edge without ever taking you completely over.
Yeah. But who does? When you get outside like RBN and TRS and the Daily Stormer, Nick Fuentes, and, you know, some of these, as far as normies are concerned, obscure internet sites, who does talk about it? Nobody. Everybody who's talking about the problems that Jews create, then they're blaming it on globalists or the military-industrial complex Hicks or the Rothschilds or whatever, but they won't come out and talk about the Jewish power. There's always something else. The collective West.
Oh, Russell Brand would be too young to have joined Kavanaugh's rape train. He was born in 75.
Yeah.
That was a joke anyway. Probably not a lot of our audience knows much about Russell Brand. I had to look him up. I'm sitting here reading his wiki right now.
I guess he has some Hollywood movie experience, but I don't pay attention to Hollywood movies, so I wouldn't know.
Well, I guess the takeaway here is that the Me Too movement now can be used successfully to just take anyone down at the system, you know, anybody as a public figure that the system wants to discredit. They can just Me Too them. And apparently it sticks. And even if it doesn't stick, it just destroys their life and they got to spend all kinds of money defending themselves in court in these civil suits. That's what he's facing, isn't it, Civil? Yeah. Well, we went a little far in the field of the prep. I think we've covered the domestic issues there pretty soundly. Did our house cleaning from last week following up on Azerbaijan. Then we followed up on the UAW strike. What do we got here? Are we throwing India under the bus? Pulled this up from CNN. I didn't have time to read it, so I'm just have to glance at it. Western intelligence led to Canada accusing India's of Sikh activist assassination.
That is sick.
That's pretty sick. Trudeau's shaking hands. Trudeau's pretty sick. Intelligence gained by the Five Eyes Network led to Canada's public accusation that the Indian government may have played a role in the assassination of a Sikh separatist, it's spelled S-I-K-H, activist on Canadian soil, the U.S. ambassador to Canada said Sunday. I guess this is because India and BRICS and all that.
Yeah.
Kind of the bottom line there.
So the Five Eyes, people who aren't familiar, the Five Eyes are five of the six white countries that speak English as a native language, right? So it's the UK, America, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. What's the sixth country that speaks English but isn't allowed to sit at the cool kids table? You know, Jeremy, you know.
Ireland?
Yeah, Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland is pretty screwed up, but at least it's not there. But Ireland, yeah, it had a gay Pakistani prime minister. I don't know. I don't think he's prime minister anymore, but I think they've just gone from the fires of the frying pan or vice versa.
Yeah, he was authorizing a million migrants, third world migrants, into a population of 6 million. 6 million.
Oh, God.
A literal Holocaust. They might as well just like starve them and take all their potatoes away again, yeah?
As if there's something sinister about it. That's a line from Father Ted. The line from Father Ted, where there's some like new wave singer, some female feminist new wave singer, and he was watching her on TV and complaining about her. And she's always going on and on and on about the Catholic Church, hiding. Oh no, she was actually being interviewed on TV, and she's the Catholic Church, and they hid the potatoes during the famine, and then Father Ted just looks up and says, "This woman." As if there was something sinister about it. Which I think was funny. Probably subversive, but funny.
Well, so back to the Five Eyes, and no, I had to look that up too. So they're throwing India under the bus for being part of BRICS. Another one bites the dust in wake of the whole Russia-Ukraine war. Are we calling it a war, or is it still an intervention? Russia's doing an intervention.
I've been calling it a war the whole time, and I'm fine calling it an invasion. I think Russia was justified to invade.
The council members, talking about the Five Eyes, exchange views on subjects of mutual interest and concern, compare best practices in review and oversight methodology. explore areas where cooperation on reviews and the sharing of results is permitted or appropriate.
Yeah, and this is so basically they can intelligence. It's their intelligence services that are cooperating.
Right. So accusing India of that, see what else we have here. We're just kind of all over the place today, aren't we?
Yeah. So you do have this realignment, and India, they have been trying to draw India into an anti-China alliance through a mechanism called the Quad. And the Quad is four, was United States, Australia, Japan, and India. And they were trying to develop some sort of military alliance there. They've been having more or less annual meetings for a dozen years or so. It goes back. And, these are countries that surround China. They surround them geographically, and America surrounds them with various military bases. And so it was an explicitly anti-Chinese alliance or effort to create an alliance. But in this war in Ukraine has really reshaped the geopolitical landscape. So India, it supported Russia. And of course, India was already involved in BRICS. BRICS predates the Quad. And there was tension between India and China. There's been tension between India and China over the demarcation of their border. But there's a big difference between the border issue between India and China on the one hand, and like the territorial issues between currently between Russia and Ukraine or between other countries. Because the thing is, like between Russia and Ukraine, you're talking about like if you were talking about before the war started, Crimea, which has 2 million people, and the Donbass had like 8 million people. So you're talking about land where millions of people live. The border dispute between India and China is in the Himalayan mountains where nobody lives, right? These are the highest mountains in the world. Nobody lives there. So you're not fighting over areas where people live. India and Pakistan, their conflict is over an area where lots of people live, the Kashmir. But this is an area where nobody lives. You know, certain mountain passes and certain, you know, they might have some sort of military strategic importance, but in the big scope of things, compared to everything else that's going on, China and India seem to be saying, this Himalayan border demarcation issue, it's not as important. And so they are cooperating. They're cooperating both actively with Russia, but they're cooperating to an extent with each other now. And the Quad has fallen apart. You're just getting this massive realignment of world politics, and it's countries moving away from the U.S. NATO alliance system.
The most surprising of these realignments was Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Despite their selling oil in rubles and now in yuan and whatever else, basically getting off the dollar, the U.S. is still wanting to do some sort of a pact with them, Saudi Defense Pact, which, according to what I've pulled up, most of Americans are against. But weird relationship, U.S. with the Saudis and Israel. Of course, remember in 2016, Congress released some 9/11 report that admitted Saudi Arabia was funding the 9/11 attacks. You had that weird thing. And now this, they're getting off of the dollar to sell oil to other countries. It's just like the U.S. just will not throw them under the bus, though. They just keep coming back like a battered wife. I don't know. What's your take on that real quick on Saudi and this defense pact?
Saudi Arabia has huge oil reserves. So they have they're often the biggest producer of oil, and they have huge oil reserves. So they're important for that reason. And then to the extent that the petrodollar is still important, I think its importance might be exaggerated, but Saudi Arabia plays a key role in the maintenance of the petrodollar by insisting that its oil gets bought in dollars. Well, they're not insisting that anymore. Clear, and Saudi Arabia is officially joining BRICS, I think, as of January 1st. I think that's when they become an official member. And, you know, this is a country that was, in spite of being an Arab country, nominally supportive of Palestinians, but it was a country that was so much in the American orbit that it was behind the scenes cooperating with Israel on all sorts of things. It was basically in an anti-Iranian alliance with Israel. Well, now it's joining BRICS. Who else is joining BRICS? Iran's joining BRICS. And you've got the peace deal that was brokered by China between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So things are just changing. It's a big deal. And Saudi Arabia, just by virtue of having so much oil, it plays a very important role in world politics and the world economy. And so this is a big deal. And everything, India's moving away from the United States and the Jewish American system. So is Saudi Arabia. So are a lot of other countries and countries that matter. So this is a big deal, what's going on. And the this war in Ukraine is the catalyst for a lot of it. And it's this war in Ukraine, it was something that was conceived of and designed by Victoria Nuland in particular, but these Jewish neocons, and they bit off more than they can chew. They screwed it up, and now they're going to have to live with it.
It was a long time coming, and it's a war that could have happened at any time since 2014. And I think, as you pointed out, maybe Russia was playing their cards close to their chest, you would say it, forming these alliances because they knew that such a conflict over Ukraine was inevitable after the night on food. That's my laugh track. That's T doing the laugh track in the background, by the way. Anyway, yeah. Back to Saudi. It's going to be hard for U.S. diplomats to rail on Iran about human rights abuses and ignore Saudi Arabia's. It's going to be a lot harder for them to do that now with this alliance with Iran, Saudi and Iran.
Well, I mean, Saudi right now, they're still trying to mend fences with Saudi Arabia on the assumption that maybe they can stop this development. But at some point, they'll give up on Saudi Arabia and it'll become an enemy country. Presumably. I mean, the other thing is that what's the direction that the American government's been going in under its Jewish leadership is really not sustainable. And so at some point, everything's going to fall apart. It's hard to say how. It's hard to say when. But this just can't go on. It's not sustainable. That's my line, and I'm sticking to it. Okay.
Well, I just said a whole line there with the microphone muted. See, I'm an honorary boomer today. Saudi's really taking advantage of this too. I just pulled up this Al Jazeera post 7 hours ago. Palestinian Authority welcomes first Saudi ambassador to Palestine. So they're putting a little handout to the Palestinians there, right in the eye of the apartheid, Israeli apartheid. And Israel's probably just sitting there trying to figure out how this is all going to crumble so they can decide who to latch on to.
Well,
even Israel is leaning a little pro-Russia.
Yeah, well, within Israel, I mean, Israel's very evenly divided right now between pro-Netanyahu and anti-Netanyahu. And I have not been keeping up with internal politics in Israel. I think that the personal relationship between Netanyahu and Biden is bad. Biden's not a popular person. Maybe he seems kind of like just goofy and harmless on TV, but he's very corrupt. You have to understand he's very corrupt. And he does this, something you do see on TV is he has this kind of vicious streak from time to time. And he just jumps up and impromptu will say really aggressive things. You know, you think at the beginning of the war, saying that for God's sake, this man, meaning Putin, this man cannot be left in charge of Russia, right? Or just gratuitously saying Xi Jinping is a dictator, and just says very aggressive and obnoxious things. And foreign leaders, other leaders don't like him. And Putin and Xi Jinping, they don't return his calls. And Netanyahu supposedly really dislikes him. And I think Biden dislikes Netanyahu for whatever reason, even though Biden's a proud Zionist. So you've got this division within Israel.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tehi Boti Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you
know. And Netanyahu supposedly really dislikes him. And I think Biden dislikes Netanyahu for whatever reason, even though Biden's a proud Zionist. So you've got this division within Israel, and you had these protests earlier, like a few months ago. You had all these protests in Israel, anti-Netanyahu protests. I don't know what's going to happen there. And the Israelis do see themselves as being the center of the Jewish people, and what's good for the Israelis is good for the Jewish people. Somebody like Victoria Nuland, I don't think, like Victoria Nuland, doesn't seem to be wrapped around Israel's finger. She has her particular view of Jewish interests, the interests of the Jewish people that she's pursuing. And, you know, for Netanyahu and some Israelis, and a lot of Israelis speak Russian and have, you know, potential business ties in Russia and whatnot. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Israel. But the thing is, Putin, unlike American politicians, where you've got this massive, through conditioning, through propaganda, through Christian Zionism, there's this base of support for Israel that American politicians feel they have to both tap into and nurture. Russia, like Putin, really doesn't have it the same way. And so I don't know how much there is to gain from Israel trying to move out of America's orbit into Russia's orbit. They would come down a couple of notches, but there might be a judgment. There might be a judgment that it's better to come down a couple of notches and be just one country among many in a strong economic and political system centered on Russia and China, than to be the spoiled child in a dying system that is centered around the United States and Europe. That's my work.
Interesting to draw a parallel between the divisions in Israel and the divisions in the U.S. Both seem somewhat irreparable, and it's like these young, you know, Jewish people in Israel have, you know, they're getting high on the Jew's supply of leftism. All right. And there seems to be this left-right divide that we have going on here. Have you thought about that, the parallels there? And also, I would actually think of Israel as America's bratty little brother that goes and picks fights with much bigger people, because brother, America's got my back. America?
Yep.
Think about that, the divide in Israel. Could they be looking at a complete collapse of their government, like possibly what we're looking at here?
Yeah, I don't know. They're very, very divided. But I don't know. I don't know how I have the feeling that at the end of the day that they have enough paranoia about external enemies and the internal enemies of the Palestinians that at the end of the day they're going to stick together.
Yeah. Well, that's how they've done it for 5,000 years.
Yeah. Anyway, we're running up at the end of the show.
Yeah, we didn't even get to cover a German immigrant deported. You know, I'm glad Biden's really, you know, deporting these people. Stay on top of these Nazis as we get massively invaded from the South. But thanks, Patrick, for having me on. It's been a great discussion.
Well, thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again. I'll try to stay
classy.
I will try. I'll try my utmost. And I'll be back again tomorrow with a very classy episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.